Good morning and welcome to worship at church. I guess it's a minute early, but we'll go ahead and get started. Announcements. First off, I want to say thank you to the fellowship enjoy one another's company and be together. It felt really good to be together. This week, I am having some very minor foot surgery. It's going to be a pretty easy recovery, but that's why I will be out of the office. So if you need something, please reach out to Neil Clark, and if he needs to reach out to me, he will. And I ask for your prayers. My mother and George will be helping take care of me, and I've got plenty of things to microwave in the fridge, but I think it's going to be pretty smooth. A little more complicated will be Gyla Kepley's wrist surgery, and so we ask for your prayers for her. She's having surgery on Thursday of this week, so please hold her in prayer. She tells me she already has a prayer shawl, otherwise we would bless one and give it to her, but please hold her in your prayers this week. Tomorrow evening, we have church council at 7. This afternoon following worship, if you are interested in helping out with VBS, which is going to be on Saturday, July 30th, please meet in the fellowship hall for a brief volunteer meeting. Toward the bottom of the announcements page, you'll see that on the fifth Sunday of this month, July 31st, we're going to be having a little food drive for the Blessing Box. So the Blessing Box has been up and running for about a year and a half, maybe a little bit longer now. And we have seen over these months that the need in our community for food is great. There are a lot of folks in our community who are food insecure, and so this ministry has truly been a blessing to so many people. But as it continues to grow and as the need is great, we are needing a little more congregational involvement. So we're sort of shifting a little bit and pivoting our approach. We're still going to have a couple of families each month oversee the Blessing Box, but we're asking folks if you are willing and able to help contribute groceries from time to time to help fill the Blessing Box. So on the fifth Sunday of this month, we're having a little food drive. We're going to be collecting Pop-Tarts, travel toiletries, snack-sized crackers or chips, and the little 8-ounce water bottles. So if you can bring some of those on that Sunday, we will use those to help fill the Blessing Box over the next couple of months. Also, the next newsletter that'll come out for August is going to have several articles and pages dedicated to the Blessing Box and what that ministry looks like and how you can contribute toward it and work with it if you'd like. We have two prayer shawls here, and I actually gave one out this week that we're also going to pray for. I did a funeral on Wednesday, and the man whose wife died really didn't have any family, and it was just really sad. And so Gyla offered me one of her prayer shawls so that even though he really didn't have family or have support going forward, he could be reminded of our love. And when I gave it to him, he cried, and he carried it around with him at the funeral home. And then when we went to the graveside, he got it out of the car with him and held on to it. So just a reminder that these prayer shawls mean so much to people. We bless them here and send them on, but the care and comfort that they continue to bring to people is really beyond measure. So that gentleman's name was David. We have a prayer shawl for Cheryl, who is Jim Horn's sister. Her husband died, and so we want to pray for this prayer shawl. And then Jane D's friend, Glenn Smith, up in Pennsylvania, has cancer. So we're going to be sending this. There you are. Jane, you're not in your usual seat. So we're going to be praying for this and sending it up to Pennsylvania. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are always there to hear us and to offer us comfort and hope when we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the remarkable ministry that we have here with these prayer shawls. We don't even know how many we've given out over the years, but the gift that these prayer shawls have offered countless individuals is truly beyond measure. Today, we specifically lift up prayer shawls for David, for Cheryl, and for Glenn, each struggling with different things, but all in need of your love and care. We ask that you bless these prayer shawls and that as each person uses theirs, that they would be reminded that you are with them, that you will never leave them, and that they are loved and cared by all of us here at Holly Grove. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not followed your path, but have chosen our own way. Instead of putting others before ourselves, we long to take the best seats at the table. When met by those in need, we have too often passed by on the other side. Set us again on the path of life. Save us from ourselves, and free us to love our neighbors. Amen. Hear the good news. God does not deal with us according to our sins, but delights in granting pardon and mercy. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You are free to love as God loves. Amen. The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
let us pray. O Lord God, your mercy delights us, and the world longs for your loving care. Hear the cries of everyone in need, and turn our hearts to love our neighbors with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors, when you obeyed the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, because you turned to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you would say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your hearts for you to observe. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, my God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Show me your ways, O Lord. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. You are gracious and upright, O Lord. You lead the lowly in justice. All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness.
And to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies.
The second reading is from the first chapter in Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grant to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world. So it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Sawyer, would you like to come up for the children's message? Or since you're the only one, do you want to stay in your seat? It's up to you. You want to come forward? Okay. Good morning. Well, first, I realized that I forgot to mention the birthdays, so would you help me pray for the people with birthdays this week? We have Mary Malone, Brandy Conrad, Anderson Conrad. So let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Sawyer, have you ever fallen down and gotten scrapes or cuts or some kind of big boo-boo on your arms or knees? No? Well, let's suppose that someone did. Let's say they fell down and, golly, they really scuffed up their knee. Do you know what you would do to take care of that knee?
Help people.
You would help them? Yeah, and these days we've got things like rubbing alcohol or hydrogen peroxide, which we'd first pour on that knee to clean out all the germs and all the dirt from that fall. Now, if you've never had any scrapes, you probably don't know that rubbing alcohol really hurts if you put it on a scrape, because it's working so hard to clean out all the germs and all of the dirt. Hydrogen peroxide hurts a little bit less, but it bubbles up in kind of a funny way. But before you can put a bandage on a wound or an injury, you have to clean it up, because as it's healing, you don't want some kind of infection to get in there and kind of make it worse. Well, in Jesus' time, when Jesus was alive, they actually didn't have rubbing alcohol or hydrogen peroxide, and they didn't even have band-aids like we do. They would take rags and tie rags around injuries. But to clean wounds, they would actually use wine, kind of like the wine we have at communion. And so in the story I just read, there was a man who got really hurt, and the kind man who helped him, he put wine and oil on his injuries to help clean them out. And I thought that was really interesting. Now, back in Jesus' time, wine had a lot higher alcohol content than it does now, almost 11%, which is really high. But that's why it could help clean out those wounds. So it disinfected all of the germs and all of the dirt and helped prevent some kind of infection. And so I was thinking about wine, because in worship, we also have wine for communion. And actually, God's desire for us when we take communion is for wine to kind of be like a healing balm for our souls, like a medicine for our souls, just like it was for the man in the story whose wound, whose cut, whose scrape needed some cleaning and some healing. And so when we take wine to drink or grape juice at communion, because it has Jesus's love and presence in it, that wine or grape juice also has the power to help heal our souls. So if there are old injuries in our soul, or if there are old boo-boos or wounds or hurts, the wine and the juice, because of Jesus' love when it goes into our bodies, can help heal those wounds and those hurts, that it can help to clean out some of the junk that gets stored up in our souls that can hurt us, and clean that out and help to heal us. So maybe when you come forward for communion today or any Sunday and you drink that grape juice or wine, you can think about how God can use that wine to help heal our souls. And if you find yourself having your soul hurt, or if you've got a wound inside of yourself, come to communion and let God heal that for you. Let's pray together. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. And thank you for Jesus's love. When we come to communion today, help us to remember that the wine or juice has the power to help heal our souls. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up today. I really appreciate it. You can go back to your seat. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have our own vocabulary in the church, don't we? We've talked about this a time or two in the children's messages. But have you ever thought much about it? Maybe, maybe not. Now, if you grew up in the church, you grew up hearing a lot of these churchy words, and over time, you probably figured out what they were based on how they were used and the contexts that they were used in. But if you didn't grow up in the church, these words might seem a little bit more foreign to you. But even if you did grow up in the church, You've noticed that we just don't use a lot of these churchy words outside of the church, outside of worship, outside of Bible studies. Words like salvation, words like redemption, incarnation, righteousness. Even words like grace, which we use a lot, especially in the Lutheran church, we kind of know what it means, and we can definitely use it in sentences. We use it appropriately. But if we had to define it, it would be a lot harder. Because a lot of these churchy words, we use other churchy words to help define it, so it's not always a helpful way to describe it. Well, this week I had one of those churchy words stump me, and that word is mercy. We use it all the time in worship. In fact, if you were to go through today's bulletin, not including the psalm, the gospel lesson, or the sermon, we've either said or sung the word mercy 23 times. I mean, that's a pretty high number. Now, in the psalm, the word that's most often translated mercy is in the psalm 6 times, but it's not translated mercy in this particular psalm, but it's the same word. And then, of course, in the gospel lesson, Jesus tells the lawyer to go and do likewise, to have mercy, just like the Samaritan man did. For example, every Sunday we sing the Kyrie. The Kyrie, Kyrie means Lord. Eleison means have mercy. So every Sunday, as we gather together, we are praying this beautiful song, asking God to have mercy on us, on the church, for the unity of all, for our work and our play. We are asking God to have mercy. So we pray it, we say it, when we can open the confession, most merciful God, God delights in granting pardon and mercy. In the prayers of intercession, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I mean, we say it a lot, but it's a lot harder to define, again, in a way that makes sense and doesn't use other big churchy words to define it. And so when I stumped myself this week trying to find a simple way to define mercy, I thought, okay, this is a problem here, because if the pastor can't even find an easy way to define mercy, how can I expect or hope that all of you would be able to define mercy in a simple way? So here are a few things. One, we believe that mercy is one of the characteristics of God. God is merciful. And so all of us who bear the image of God bear that mercy in us, and we're called to reflect that mercy, to mirror that mercy in our relationships with others. Mercy is used over 250 times in the Old Testament alone to describe God. The Hebrew word hesed is used 250 times, but in English, it's only translated into mercy a few times. Some of the other ways that this word is translated: steadfast love, compassion, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, grace, loyalty, loving kindness. You see, this one Hebrew word is so full of meaning that it's hard to translate it into English. And so we use all of these different English words to translate this one word, which today, in our example today, we're talking about as mercy. So it's really not like a math equation where mercy equals this one thing. Actually, mercy is more like a concept. Mercy equals all of these different things. Mercy is not a feeling, it's an action. So here's how I might simplify, after spending a lot of time trying to figure this out, here's how I might simplify defining mercy. Mercy is a completely undeserved kindness and generosity. And mercy is God's tender-hearted, deep and loving compassion for all of creation, and for humanity. So I'm going to say those again, because I need to keep saying it so that I can remember all of that. Mercy is a completely undeserved kindness and generosity. Mercy is God's tender-hearted, deep and loving compassion. So when we ask God to have mercy on us, we're asking God in God's deep and tender-hearted love to have compassion for us. We're asking God to show us undeserved kindness and generosity. So mercy both describes who God is and how God acts toward us. In Micah 6:8, which is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, we are called to love mercy, right? What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? So as I've been thinking about mercy this week and trying to define it, we are to love mercy. We are called to mirror and reflect God's mercy toward us in our relationships with others. So what brought all of this up in my mind and my heart this week was the gospel lesson for today. We're all familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan. A lawyer is trying to trick Jesus, to trip him up. And so he asks Jesus, what must he do to inherit eternal life? You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength and your neighbor as yourself. It's the entire law summed up into two commandments. It's God's desire for humankind summed up into a few words. But wanting to justify himself, he asks, but who is my neighbor? And before I get too up into my own self, we're all kind of like that lawyer, aren't we? We know we are supposed to love our neighbor, but we want to make sure we know who our neighbor is. And actually, even more than that, we want to know who our neighbor isn't. So that if we know who they aren't, we can just walk right by. If we know who they aren't, we can pass to the other side of the road. We want to know who our neighbor isn't so that we can ignore them, we can dismiss them without feeling too much guilt or remorse. But Jesus doesn't offer the lawyer words to justify him or words to justify us. Instead, he points out our selfishness, our pride, and our prejudices. And he does so by telling this story of the Good Samaritan. And by telling this story, he offers basically the only qualification for neighborness, and that is someone who is suffering, someone who is vulnerable, and someone in need. That's what a neighbor is: someone suffering, someone vulnerable, and someone in need. And so any other line, any other wall that we might build up, any other description we can think of to make someone not our neighbor falls away. It cannot stand with Jesus' story and description. Jesus speaks of someone who is merciful in spite of differences by describing a neighborly love that is borderless, that is selfless, that is deeply kind and generous and compassionate, a love that is so expansive that it can reach across any human border we create for the good of the other. And with this description and story from Jesus, we realize, and pretty uncomfortably, that being a neighbor isn't about who we are or who someone else is, but being a neighbor is about action, and it's about doing. Being a neighbor is about being merciful and doing mercy. Which brings me back to the word mercy, because Jesus tells the story of some really religious and pious men walking by this beaten man who was left half for dead. And we know that they see him because Scripture says that they saw him. It's not that they didn't see him and accidentally walked by. They saw him and intentionally crossed to the other side of the road. But then along comes a Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews hated each other. They were the most enemy of enemies. And yet this Samaritan cares for the biggest enemy in the world that he could have. And he goes above and beyond in caring for him. So Jesus asks the lawyer, of all the people in the story, which one is the neighbor? And the lawyer replies, the neighbor is the one who showed mercy. The one who saw someone who was suffering and vulnerable and in need. The one who acted with compassion and kindness and love and generosity. The one who acted out love toward his enemy. The one who showed mercy. And although Jesus' reply is simple, it's a lot harder to live out when he says, go and do likewise. Brothers and sisters, we are called to not walk by, to not ignore or dismiss those who are suffering, those who are vulnerable and in need. Even if we can come up with really good reasons why we think they are undeserving of mercy, we are called to be merciful in spite of differences. We are called to love as God loves, with a neighborly love that is borderless and selfless, deeply kind and generous, and so expansive that it can reach across any boundary, any distinction that humankind can come up with, all in order for the good of the other. This is who God is. God is merciful. God is mercy. And in our baptism, we are clothed with Christ and we are called to grow more and more into the likeness of Christ throughout our whole lives. We are called to grow more and more into being merciful so that we can love others with the same mercy that God has loved us with. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
standing together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ,
God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the church, the creation, and all in need. Good and gracious God, you have placed your word of love in the heart of your church. Fill your church with compassion that we may bear the fruit of your healing mercy to a broken world. God, in your mercy, you created the earth with seeds sprouting up new life. We pray for the flourishing of fruit trees and orchards, vines and bushes. Prosper the work of those who plant, tend, harvest, and gather. God, in your mercy, show us your ways and teach us your paths of justice and love. Raise up community and national leaders to challenge and dismantle societal structures that perpetuate ethnic, racial, and religious profiling and discrimination. God, in your mercy, come near to all in need. Orchestrate kindness in the face of cruelty, hope where there is despair, love in the face of neglect, comfort where there is death, and healing in illnesses, especially for Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Latifa, Carrie, Joe, Boyd, Gala, Mary, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we name now aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God, in your mercy, turn this community towards neighbors in need. Bring aid and support to those who are poor, beaten down, abused, forgotten, silenced, or avoided. God, in your mercy, we give thanks for the saints who revealed your love and mercy in this life. Inspired by their witness, strengthen us to live in hope. God, in your mercy.
God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Peace be with you. Peace. Peace, peace. Peace, Judy.
In honor of Dottie.
Father, we love you, we worship you. and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Jesus, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the King of Kings, who is the great I Am. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Let us pray. God of love, you call us beloved children and welcome us to your table. Receive our lives and the gifts we offer. Abide with us and send us in service to a suffering world for the sake of your beloved child, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise. Beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. We praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by day and night, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering, within this meal, among your people, throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In Christ's presence, there is healing and fullness of joy. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Love your neighbor.